Welcome on in to Stackin' Dubs. This is your host, Chris Chin. Warriors come away with a 113-92 victory at Miami against the Heat, who were missing Jimmy Butler, Tyler Hero, and Duncan Robinson. But the Warriors are missing TJD of their own, nursing a little bit of a sore knee. Hopefully will return back tonight. He's questionable. Klay Thompson started this one in place of a slightly struggling, slightly flat Brandon Podziemski as of late. I think needed to tick down a few Podziemski minutes, let him get a little fresh, rested, and a little reset, if you will. And despite liking having Klay coming off the bench in that six-man role, did a great job as a starter, really brought that starting lineup together and gave it a little bit more spacing. Klay finished with 28 points in this one. Very strong game for Klay. Had 6 three-pointers, 11 of 20 from the field. We'll talk a little bit more about Klay and kind of looking forward with him going to next year. But in this one, Warriors, very clean game. Only 10 turnovers, only 13 free throws surrendered. And that's impressive against a team like the Heat with Bam Adebayo, big, strong, athletic. We've had our troubles with these big centers in the past. Did a great job keeping him from getting to the line too much and holding the Heat for under 100 points. Well, full disclaimer, I didn't watch this whole game super detailed. We were out. It was our third wedding anniversary. Yeah, cheers to myself and my wife, Kathy. And more so cheers to Kathy for letting me still have the game on my phone, have my NBC Sports Bay Area pulled up. We had a little happy hour. So they had the Lakers and Bucks game on. They would not change to NBC Sports Bay Area. It's the caveat here with living in Los Angeles. I get stuck watching the Lakers all the time. Anyways, was able to watch a bit of the game, but not as much detail. And it was fun. We actually sat next to a guy who's from Greece. His name's Gianni. Shout out Gianni, new Dubs, Stackin' Dubs follower, subscriber. But yeah, met Gianni, huge Bucks fan, huge Giannis fan. And as we watched, the Bucks had a nice 20-point lead at the end of dinner, and it was time to leave. I wished Gianni a good evening and wished them luck because we need the Lakers to lose if we want any chance at catching them for home court advantage in the play-in. Ended up getting home a bit later, checked the score on the Bucks, the Lakers, and my good new friend Gianni, and well, the Bucks pulled a Warriors. They blew the 20-point lead. They ended up getting a double overtime where it sounds like they had a couple missed opportunities. I think Lillard got swatted at the rim by Anthony Davis. Giannis missed some free throws. All in all, a brutal, heart-stabbing loss for the Bucks. But I'm sorry, Gianni, you've just had the Warriors experience. We've been doing this all year long. Welcome to the club. I guess it's contagious. Now that we're friends, you can sympathize and really feel all the feels that the Warriors have been feeling this year. So tough loss. And of course, the Warriors do feel that loss with the Lakers winning. So we're all in the same boat together. Anyways, Warriors, going back to it, a good win here. And if nothing else, it proved that we remain a formidable team on the road. The road Warriors improved to 19-15 away from Chase Center. If you're good on the road, you have a puncher's chance in the playoffs. Winning in the playoffs on the road is the hardest thing you can do. It's what the Warriors across their dynasty have over the last 9-10 years have done extremely well. I think it was only last year that was the first year they didn't win a road game in a playoff series. And that's very much why they say, you know, the playoff series doesn't start until a team loses at home. And that's why the Warriors have had success. And that's why I still think there is a puncher's chance that this Warriors team can really make some noise if they get into the playoffs and give a team a little trouble while we're on the road. Steal a game on the road. Now you come back home where the Warriors haven't been great. They haven't even been good. But come the playoffs, that can definitely change. And Chase Center, as we know, is a great home court advantage, especially in the playoffs. So that being said, the road. Why are the Warriors so good on the road? I have my theories. One being just better focus, better effort. When you're on the road, it's just us mentality, right? Especially when you go through something like losing Coach Deke on the road when we were in Utah, I believe. So it really, you know, unites a team, and you find out a lot of team about through adversity. And that's why I've liked the Warriors this year. They've dealt with adversity and they've been strong through it. It's really the problems of excelling when things are going right, when we have leads and we're at home, that the wheels have kind of tended to fall off due to lapses. But case in point, right? The Warriors on the road, their defense, a 115 rating compared to at home, where it's a 118 rating on defense. 3 points difference. How many games this year have been won, lost, or sent to overtime by 3 points or less? I can count at least a dozen. And the Warriors have played the most clutch games in the league. These close games, we really struggled, and we haven't really been closing games. That extra 3 points, whatever it is, for whatever reason on the road, our defense is that much better. That's the difference between maybe 5 to 7 or 8 games of difference of winning and losing. Both home and away, our offense is the same efficiency rating at 118. So there's reasons to think that the Warriors can still dig in, especially in some do or die playoff games at home, and really play this truer to a 115 rating on defense, which is good enough to win. It's good enough to win in a series with some consistency. And most importantly, it's good enough to steal a game on the road. So still hope for these road Warriors as long as they continue to keep showing that effort and then can turn some things on at home. Klay Thompson, well, we already talked about it. Very, very good, efficient output in this one. He shot well, he played well. Everything that Klay's been doing recently has been very encouraging and really gives us some optimism, even from a longer-term view. We've always known Klay's a slow starter to seasons, especially shooting. And you know, that's not all that different from this year. He's really turned it on lately. In the last 19 games, 76 threes on a 42% clip. And those 76 threes are the most in the NBA in that time. So you just look at that in a vacuum, and you know, 19 games is a quarter of the season. Klay's been great for a quarter of the season, offensively, shooting. His percentages on the season is 38% on three, whereas for his career, he's closer to 41%. I tend to believe that Klay hasn't just forgotten how to shoot, but the last couple of years since he's returned from injury, he has been under 40%. So I don't know if this is who Klay is, or you know, where do we really project Klay going forward? And that's what I want to talk about. So you know, Klay is 32, 33, almost 33, if not already. Now, how many more years realistically do we expect him to be playing, at least at this level? And what even is the value of this level that he's at right now? In him, I'd say we're getting a, let's call it a 40% three-point shooter. We'll kind of hedge the middle here and call him a 40% three-point shooter. He's no longer a 20-point scorer. I think this year we're seeing him at about 17 points. I think he's a little bit better than that, and he has been lately and in the right role. I think we could call him closer to maybe like an 18 and a half, maybe even a 19-point scorer, which in the league these years, that's good for your number three score, especially if you can space the floor and be a knockdown open three-point shooter like Klay is. What worries me a little bit, and we've seen some improvements, is just the overall field goal percentage. For his career, he was typically hovering in the 46-47% field goal percentage, which is great for a shooter. Past couple years, it's been below 42%, and that's where you're getting to be inefficient, and you know that those aren't good shots. If you're shooting under as a guard under 44% even, that's not good enough, and you should be shooting less shots or more efficient shots. So we're calling Klay this, right? We're calling him, let's call him an 18.5 point scorer on 40% from three. I mean, I'd like to think he can kind of get back to like a 43% from the field, and then you're going to give us slightly below average defense. Can't really be a point of attack defender anymore. That's the biggest loss with him, but he can still be effective guarding kind of the small forwards, even power forwards. He's proven to be a decent rebounder over the years, nothing great. I love that we're seeing more playmaking out of Klay, especially with TJD. Klay's been very surprisingly good in the as the primary ball handler, a little pick and roll, pick and pop situations. So those are little wrinkles to think that Klay can still has a little bit of room for growth into this new role. You know, whether we call it a an aged Ray Allen role or a Reggie Miller role, where you know they're the third, fourth best guy on the team as a shooter, especially playing 3 and D. So what's the value of that? Because we're going to be looking at a Klay Thompson contract. The reason I'm saying all this is because we got to pay Klay if we're going to keep him heading forward. How many years do we give him? I'll answer that. I'll say 2 more years. It just coincides with Curry's contract, Draymond's contract, Steve Kerr's contract. Sign him up for 2 more years. takes him through about 35 years old, and then we'll reevaluate there. But how much per year? So if we think of him as a top five, sixth man in the league, what does that pay? That pays probably closer to like anywhere from $12 to $15 million a year. I think he's a little bit more than that because he can be a starter, because of the pedigree, because of the fact that, hey, like maybe he does get back to being a 41, 42% shooter from three, and that's invaluable in this league. So maybe we're talking closer realistically to like a $17 million player, call it 2 years for $35 million is something I'm going to project. And that's sort of factoring in a little hometown Warriors discount. I think if that's the rate, the Warriors will be happy to bring him back, short of a major overhaul where we're just clearing cap and trying to bring in a superstar. And then I don't really know who would dominoes fall. You know, is Wiggins gone, which push came to shove, I think I would keep Klay, trade off Wiggins. Wiggins is gonna have a little more value as well. But I think value-wise, I would value both of them at about $17 to $18 million per year as players. So that's kind of where I'm at with Klay. We'll see how the last 11 games go and see what legs he has left to finish the season. It is encouraging to see how much he has been going late in the season rather than fading and having tired legs. So I do like to see that he's really the legs seem to be under him, at least at this point in time. All right, the other little we'll call it a mishap in this game. I didn't see it live, so I didn't see this incident until after, so I just saw replays of it on Twitter. The Draymond Green relapse, we'll call it, with Patty Mills. Draymond is baseline, we're on offense, and I think he's chasing an offensive rebound, and I'll take you through it as I see it. So he has his arm under Patty Mills, and Patty Mills has basically Draymond's arm kind of pinned in against Mills's body. And I think Draymond's initial movement is to flail and show, hey, like my arm's pinned, and he's trying to like come up and, you know, bring his arm out, but also draw contact as it's happening so the ref can see that he's being held. Unfortunately for Dre, his arm kind of frees, and rather than just letting the arm go, he decides to kind of trip, flail, whatever we call it, and his arm ends up wrapping around Mills's neck. It's, for all intents and purposes, a clothesline, and he just kind of hooks Patty Mills. So I'll back up and say, I don't know if there was tension or kind of conflict before that, but just in an isolated experience and just seeing the actual foul, I would call it a flagrant foul. It's excessive, it's unnecessary, it's unnatural contact at the neck and head area. By definition, I think I would call that a flagrant foul. In reality, I think we know kind of what Draymond's thought process or lack of thought process is. What he does, and I'm breaking this down by like milliseconds. So, you know, he's trying to draw the foul, he's flailing, then all of a sudden he's off balance, and his natural reaction in these situations has been to kind of just grab, kind of lock up, just tangle, if you will. Tangle is the right word. He tangles. I don't think he intends to be up in the head or neck area, but that's what happens. And because of that, and because of his past, it looks pretty bad for Draymond. All that being said, it's these flails and these little tie-ups and these, we'll exclude the Nurkic slap and smack of the face, but these little tangles, I don't mind those as much as the mental blow-ups that Dre will have, where he's having meltdowns. I point to the Rudy Gobert head lock and drag. I don't know what that was about. That's far worse for me than these like in the moment little scuffles where he's doing too much, but it's also, I can see what he's trying to do, I guess. So I say all that. Draymond, I think it's just a little lack of focus. You've been very good. You've, you know, been kind of locked in to your mindset for the last couple months. As the season's gotten a little away from us and as bad habits do kind of tend to creep back in, I think that's what this was. Again, it was in an isolated, you know, millisecond, a half second of what happened. Cut that out of your bad habits. It's maybe a muscle memory thing. I don't know how to untrain that out of your muscle memory other than, hey, stay locked in at all times like you have been for the last couple months. So that's all I'll say about that. Dre, I don't really, I think you should have got a flagrant, but I don't think this is by any means a huge setback, step back in what you've already accomplished in the last couple months. Okay, so looking ahead, tonight, back to back, we play at Orlando. That is a very difficult game. Orlando is big. They've played us tough. TJD and Kuminga are both questionable with knee soreness, so we will definitely both need both of them. I think we need our best front court, and that includes both of them and Dre in this game. Dre may also be a little dinged up, just his ongoing back issues and now being on a back-to-back, but he's not on the injury report, and we definitely need him to hold our own against a Paolo Banchero, the Wagners, and just all the size that the Magic have. So big game tonight. We'll see what the Warriors can do on the tail end of a back-to-back where they've been good this season. After that, we then go to Charlotte and then to the Spurs. I would like to think we get both those games, but realistically, I mean, I'd say odds point at us splitting that just because we're a 500 team. So I will be back with you guys tomorrow. Let's play the Magic tough. A win here gets us to that next stack of dubs, gets us some momentum, gets us believing again. Just a little bit of momentum can do a lot for the confidence of a team. And that's what we need. So let's see it, Road Warriors. Let's have another great defensive road effort. Let's bring some offense and let's get this dub, guys. All right. Well, I will be watching this one a little more intently, so I will have much more analysis for you as we take down the Magic. I'll talk to you tomorrow. This has been your host, Chris Chin. And until next time, peace, love, and stacking dubs.